The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I hope you're enjoying these audio bursts from my show, The Doug Collins Podcast, powered by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
You want to listen to a podcast?
By who?
Georgia GOP Congressman Doug Collins.
How is it?
The greatest thing I have ever heard in my whole life.
I could not believe my ears.
In this house, wherever the rules are disregarded, chaos and mob rule. It has been said today, where is bravery? I'll tell you where bravery is found and courage is found. It's found in this minority who has lived through the last year of nothing but rules being broken, people being put down, questions not being answered. And this majority say, be damned with anything else. We're going to impeach and do whatever we want to do. Why? Because we won an election. I guarantee you, one day you'll be back in the minority and it ain't going to be that fun.
Hey, folks, you know, when you look out and you see the country and just the disarray it is, you see the Biden administration, you see the wholesale prices have just went through the roof again. Inflation is tearing us up. If you have your finances all impinged in just a few areas, if you're just in stocks and bonds and you're not diversified, I got some news for you. You need a navigator. You need somebody to help you get to where you need to go with those finances. And I can't think of anybody better to do that than my friends at Legacy Precious Metals. You need precious metals in that portfolio. You need gold and silver. And Legacy Precious Metals, the folks there, they're the navigators. They know how to deal with tough times. They know and how to look ahead and take your personal situation and make it something that can be workable for you in the long term. Because that's at the end of the day, that's the one you're most concerned about. You need to make sure that your personal finances and your retirement are secure. You need folks like Legacy Precious Metals helping you in that. They will take the time to learn you. They'll learn your finance. They'll learn where your investment goes are, and they'll help you get there. And metals and gold right now, in this kind of crazy inflation, in this kind of crazy economy with the Biden's economy, is just, you need that help. And Legacy Precious Metals is the one to do that. So give Legacy Precious Metals a call, 866-528-1903, 866-528-1903, or you can always visit them online at LegacyPMInvestments.com, and you can download their free investor's guide. Legacy Precious Metals, they're the ones you need. They're the navigators to help you through these turbulent times.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Today is a special day. We've made it. We've made it to Friday. Yes, we have made it to Friday. Today is Friday, the best of, the worst of, whatever we're going to call it. But we're just going to call it here. It is the Friday finest. The things that we have looked back through the week and maybe even past week, that we're just saying, hey, maybe this deserves a little more attention. Some weeks is interesting. Some weeks not as interesting. Some weeks have some funny. Some weeks have some sad. This week, though, I think James and I, we got a few things we're going to talk about. I mean, we're getting close to the end of football season. We've got a lot of stuff out there. But, James, the first one I have to take off with, and you now, and again, I'm picking on my Texas guy who from New Jersey, and a study recently came out. I don't know how scientific we want to call it, but it was a scientific study. They said that ranked the dirtiest cities in America, and Houston, Texas, number one, Newark, New Jersey, number two.
Do you know anything else on the list? Or
New York City was number 12.
New York City's number 12, but there's nothing you can do about it. There's too many people for it not to be dirty. I'm surprised at Houston, because I've only lived in Dallas for a little over a year now, barely. And yep. I've never been to Houston. I've only heard good things about Houston, but very surprised that it's arguably the dirtiest city in America. Newark, well, however, that is Newark, not a surprise.
Okay. Now, I know you're from Jersey, but I mean, are you from the Newark area? I mean, is that sort of your area?
I'm 30 minutes out, not even.
30 minutes out. Okay. All right. Well, Houston, to get into this a little bit further, and in some of these cities, and for some of you who may be on there, you know, you never know. Houston, number one. New York, number two. San Bernardino, I don't know what you did to get wrong, but San Bernardino is three. Detroit, number four. Jersey City, New Jersey. Look at this. New Jersey makes the top five at twice.
You know,
you know, like the SEC,
you know what? I've been triggered and I'm offended because New Jersey is not garbage. And I get it. First of all, Jersey City is actually a bit of a surprise. And I'll say this. I have plenty of friends that live in Jersey City. And where they are is extremely nice. The area, so maybe there's a part I haven't visited yet. But Newark has its flaws. I don't want to be the guy to say Newark has its flaws. I mean, Brick City's Brick City for a reason.
Here's an interesting one. You know, of dirtiest cities, and you think about this in terms of stuff, Texas has two of the top 10, and that being San Antonio and Houston. Again, two that I would have not really have thought about. California has two in the top 10, two of which I would have never thought of. Bakersfield, and San Bernardino.
So two of the bigger states, California and Texas, have two places. That makes sense. But New Jersey, which is the size of my living room as compared to the map of the United States, is literally garbage. And you got two spots on there.
This is the thing they're polled. Everybody gets it. You know, like I said,
I haven't heard you mention any places in Georgia yet. Let's get down there, huh?
First we got to bring through Fresno, California, number 8. Oklahoma City, number 9.
So it's just populated areas.
Okay, Atlanta, Georgia, 27.
You know what? That's surprising for how busy Atlanta, Georgia is.
Yep, 27, and that's the only city we have on the list. Oh. Denver, 74th. Savannah, Georgia made 88th, which is, you know, pretty good. Okay.
If you're out of Chicago, the top 50, Illinois, it doesn't matter. If you're out of the top 20.
Okay, now this is right. I've got to firmly disagree on planting the flag. Chicago, 96. San Francisco, 97. I'm calling bullcrap.
Yeah, San Francisco is the most homeless people. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. Might be Austin, Texas.
I mean, literally, we've talked about this. San Francisco has a problem right now. One of the problems in San Francisco is that the homeless population has no either access to toilets, or they just decide that they would rather urinate and defecate in the street.
Yeah, that's sort of...
Okay, I know we're starting off sort of wild here on Friday, you know, finest, but you're telling me that 97th is the ranking for San Francisco where they're actually defecating in the street?
That's... This list is rigged. This list is brought to you by San Francisco.
Well, are Washington, D.C. at 107? Okay, I spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C. I ain't going to say it's 107. That's for darn sure. Going to the cleanest is Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Norfolk and Sunnyvale, California.
Hold on. I have to ask this just because. Is the Jersey Shore on there in any way, shape, or form? Because that, I've been Jersey there 100 times, and that is, that's dirty. Right.
Jersey Shore.
There's no.
I don't see a Jersey Shore.
Asbury or anything like that?
No.
Well, all right. I mean, I guess it is what it is. Maybe they've cleaned up the beaches, but when I was in high school, they didn't clean up anything, so.
Oh, and Jersey City is closing up. What is it? So anyway, folks, if you want to add into the discussion today, we'd have to have you go to the DougCollinsPodcast.com, click on the email button, and tell us which city you think is the dirtiest, and tell us why. If you disagree with some of these, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Las Vegas, number 19. Fort Lauderdale. You're telling me Fort Lauderdale is dirtier than San Francisco?
I mean, oh, give me Florida. A freaking break. Florida does have it.
I mean, come on. Heavens. Okay, we're not dunking on Florida here. Come on. I mean, Pennsylvania, 26th. I mean, come on.
Pennsylvania has only Amish people. Pennsylvania's fine.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, they got it all. That's whatever. But moving right along, that's our fun. We'll start it off there. Also, you know, now we talk a lot about politics on this thing, but I'm going to take a detour politically wise. You know, there's one thing that if you really want to get into this, folks, and I think those who followed this podcast a long time, you know that. They have that I am not a political fan of the vice president. She has really trouble speaking. She has trouble expressing herself. She just breaks out into hysterical cackles most all the time when she doesn't really know what to say. But now she's went to, and James, I mean, wouldn't you think that somebody of the vice president's stature could afford a speechwriter that could actually, she could read from? I mean, don't you think after 2 years you could find one?
Well, first of all, she should have one, regardless if she can afford it or not, considering she's the vice president.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this. Okay, her latest speech just a few days ago was talking about, it was one of her speeches on, I think, around the Roe v. Wade issue, around life issue. Anyway, interestingly enough, she quotes the Declaration of Independence, and she discusses that the American people basically are endowed with liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Are we missing something here? It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, in a time in which, you know, really we look at this, James, how did they let that happen? I mean, that's got to be intentional at some point.
100% intentional. No question about it.
I mean, so my question is to all the folks out there that are either supporters of the vice president or others, is, okay, what you got against life? Is not life a prerequisite for liberty and the pursuit of happiness?
Well, Doug, I would hate to be this guy, but I think I'm 100% certain why it's left out. Because if she says she's a fan of life, then she can no longer say that she's pro-abortion.
Well, you know, because that would actually be admitting that life is actually part of it.
But
we come to the point in our society today that a medical procedure ending a life is now more important than the very life that we have been given.
Preach.
I mean, I'm at a point now to where, I mean, the Democrats accuse Republicans of guns and everything else. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've never heard a Republican, you know, from a conservative perspective, actually take away the very fact of people living. We may disagree with positions and anything, but when you get to the point where life and birth and these things of the pursuit of this life is not something that you can actually lift up, I think we got a problem here. And again, for a vice president of the United States who consistently does this stuff, I mean, this is not new. I mean, you go back and just look at the past year at some of the speeches she's given, and to leave out life?
Intentional, and you know that, and she knows that, and her speechwriter knows that.
Well, it just shows that, you know, if you like a long-term picture in this, and you start looking at where the presidency race is the next year, I mean, if Biden continues on and keeps her on the ticket, it just shows... you know, the dearth of the Democratic Party actually having anybody to run with. You know, it's just at this point, it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is what we put out. But that's what we get here on Friday's Finest. We want you to know about it because this is where we're at. Moving along, because I just can't stay. I mean, beating on the vice president here she doesn't want to change, James. I mean, it's, I've never seen someone in a prominent position that doesn't even seem to want to go take a lesson. You know, I mean, everybody could use some constructive criticism, me, you, everybody else. I mean, nobody seems to want, I mean, she must be a not a happy person to take constructive criticism.
I think most people at that height don't take it well. To be honest, I always feel like people at a high position can't take constructive criticism. They've ignored it most of their lives, and that's how they get to the top.
I guess so, because that's where it's at. We'll get it up. All right. Cool story of the day. This is where we need to play our, you know, from our Friday funny, Friday bonus, this is where we play our NASA theme. Okay. An asteroid is passing as close as 2,200 miles above Earth. It passed last night, 2,200 miles above the Earth's surface. And it's the size of a delivery truck.
That's, you know, I mean, terrifying and awesome, but
it is. I mean, and now they're saying if it had got any closer, it'd burn up and you'd have some small meteorites, that kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, this is somewhere 11 to 28 feet across as it goes, and it's looking to say, but you know, I've been watching and listening, and I think you and I got into this the other day about the fact that the city of Atlantis last Friday, we discussed, right, city of Atlantis maybe in the actually the Sahara Desert. But we talked about these craters that we see on the Earth. You know, there's these deep craters. Antarctica has one. There's one in the Indian Ocean. You know, you see them in some of the deserts. You see it out west. Okay, here's your question. Did you know that most geologists, I think this is the way, and if I'm wrong here, folks, I know you can correct me, but it's a massive, like, fault volcanic area around Yellowstone. I mean, like, thousands of miles kind of thing around Yellowstone. Have you ever heard of that?
I've never heard of that, but that doesn't surprise me in any way whatsoever. I don't think... I guess the way I see it is nothing surprises me about what they say about the Earth prior to us being here.
Right.
Like, they always, you know, they say, like, what this part of the country was connected to. This part of South America was attached to this part of whatever. I believe all of it because I know nothing. And I believe that things move and crazy, the tectonic plates and all that stuff that I barely learned in high school. All that stuff fascinates me, but I would never be surprised by any of it being true.
Okay. Well, I, as we were sitting here and I looked this up, the and this is out of the National Park Service. Now, this is where it really gets in. So if you're walking, you're treadmilling, look at this. This is off the National Park website. The most of Earth's history is formed, and it says 4.6 billion years ago, however you want to look. And it goes into this area, but approximately 30 million years ago, we got closer. Yellowstone is a restless giant. The Yellowstone supervolcano is one of the planet's restless giants. It could erupt in our lifetime. And they monitor it every 6 minutes. I mean, it is huge. This is a massive area. The caldera of area is, I want to say it's, let's see how many miles it says here. This eruption, there's one 2.1 million years ago. It's like 5,000 square miles. This is just a massive, you know, in Mount St. Helens is part of this. Recent activities show that it is actually growing. The Yellowstone caldera. This is, I mean, think about this. If that thing erupted, the whole thing erupted, could you imagine?
Yeah, imagine you're just sitting there, all of a sudden a wolf passes over your house.
Yeah, I mean, because if it blows there, and actually Yellowstone is a volcano. Within the past 2 million years, some volcanic eruptions have occurred in the Yellowstone areas. 3 of them were super eruptions. The caldera, Yellowstone caldera, was created by a massive volcanic eruption approximately 631,000 years ago. Later lava flows filled in much of the caldera, which is now 30 by 45 miles. The rim can be seen from the Washburn Hot Springs Overlook south and all around. Look at that.
So you're just saying, so basically, and again, I feel foolish for not knowing this, but you're saying that there's just an active volcano in 5,000 miles wide in the Yellowstone?
Yeah, approximately 174,000 years ago, creating the western thumb of the Yellowstone Lake, and there have been more than 60 smaller eruptions since then, and the last being, in the last of the 60 to 80 post-caldera lava flows. I mean, this is, yeah. And, but, you know, they've said that, you know, I've heard this before growing up, you know, talking about the Yellowstone caldera, which is, and we've gotten sidetracked from our asteroid here, but also the earthquakes and stuff, that one of the biggest ones is around the Mississippi, Missouri River Basin. And that if it actually went off in an earthquake, could be just cause massive issues in the Midwest, East Coast, and we don't think about
it. I feel like, yeah, that's not talked about enough. I mean, obviously, I would assume on the one hand, there's nothing we could do about it, so why bring it up? But also, it must not be that prominent for it to be, you know, I mean, we'd be discussing it constantly if it was a problem. I mean, it would be no different than discussing an asteroid coming to Earth, right? If two parts of America were about to collapse because of a volcano or volcanic eruption that take up whatever amount of miles, killing millions of people, I think we'd be talking about it the same way we'd be talking about an asteroid coming to Earth.
Well, they talk about the New Madrid, which is called the New Madrid Seismic Zone, which is in lower Missouri, western Tennessee, northeastern Arkansas, southwestern Kentucky, around New Madrid. And the New Madrid fault line has been around a while. In 1811 to 1812, 3 earthquakes measuring between 7 and 8 out of a magnitude of 10 originated in this fault, and tremors were felt as far away as Connecticut and no damage as far away as Ohio.
That's insane.
Yeah, they calculate a 7 to 9. Listen, here's your one. Based on geological evidence, scientists believe an earthquake of this magnitude occurs about every 500 years in the New Madrid area. They calculate a 7 to 10% chance such an earthquake happening in the next 50 years. Just as concerning, the chance of a 6.0 earthquake, which is hugely destructive, a 25 to 40% chance.
That's crazy. That's
Charleston. Okay. As we get into this, you know, adventure today, on earthquake adventure and asteroid adventure, I got you one. You know, what is the city we most think of? A couple of cities, really, but what city is most thought of when we think of earthquakes?
Los Angeles.
Or San Francisco.
San Francisco, you know, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, too. In 1886, did you know that a 7.6 magnitude tremor hit Charleston, South Carolina?
No, no one knows that. Not even the people in South Carolina do.
1886, it was felt over 2.5 million square miles and caused damage as far away as 200 miles. Did you know, I got you one. Now, I know this. Did you know that North Georgia, where I live, about every, is there small tremors all the time, but about every 6 to 8 months, you'll have a tremor that I've actually felt. It'll be like a 1.5, but in North Georgia.
I've never been a part of an earthquake. It seems terrifying. Every time you see in a movie, everyone has a panic attack, but everybody ends up being fine and lights just shimmer. But I'm sure it's not that. It's much more devastating to people's homes.
Oh, yeah. One morning I woke up and I asked, Lisa had gotten up early. This has been about 25 years ago. We were in another house and Lisa had gotten up earlier to get ready to go to school. She was a teacher and I was still in bed. And all of a sudden I sort of felt something and I said, did you slam a door? Because it sort of, and she said, no. I said, what do you, I said, well, did somebody come, you know, did somebody hit something outside? Did one of the, I thought maybe one of the kids had went outside and done something. She said, no. And then about that time I turned the TV on and they said, well, 3 minutes ago there was a report of an earthquake in Northwest Georgia. Wow.
Yeah, cool. See, we deal.
It actually caused a little bit of a. You can see in our, I think over time it was a shifting that we had. After that happened, I could see a little place in one of our pieces of sheetrock.
That's insane. See, the only thing I've ever dealt with is floods and hurricanes. You know.
Yeah. Well, it is. Back around now into this in this trip on this issue of the asteroids. But my question, which we got us off on a wonderfully side note here of discussing earthquakes, is, you know, these things happened millions of years ago. They're still out there. You know, does it ever wonder, you know, we did all those movies there in the late 90s of, you know, Armageddon, Apocalypse, all these with the asteroids.
Forget the most important one is Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. Exactly right.
I just watched it like a week ago.
So are we the only ones that ever occurs that, you know, could this actually happen again? You know,
Doug, I'm telling you this right now. Did you see the movie Don't Look Up? I don't know if you did. It's a Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did.
It wasn't a great movie, but it had a hilarious ending. I think the idea is, and this is if it ever happens. Think about what happened during the pandemic and during like riots. And these are small things. I mean, I guess pandemic's not a small thing. I don't want to call it a small thing. But people went kind of crazy. If people know that the earth is ending and then all of a sudden they're just like, we're just declaring martial law. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. the panic that would ensue and the crazy, I would go out and steal stuff. You got to just go live life. Right. I think about that movie and like I think about Deep Impact. God, that could never. If they told America only 1 million people are going to survive this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll be a good idea. You shouldn't tell anyone.
Yeah. 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 What was that movie? What's the movie where they do the for one night you can go out and kill everybody?
Purge. The Purge.
The Purge, yeah. I mean, it brings up a question here, and here's a question that you can go to the DougCollinsPodcast.com, click on that email button and send me an email. Well, if you knew that an asteroid was going to hit 10 days from now, what would you do?
Oh, boy.
What would be your last 10 days?
I don't think we want those answers. There's going to be some really nasty stuff on there. All right. Exactly. All right. We're keeping it PG, right?
Yeah.
What are the last, well, you got 10 days to live. What do you do? I mean, the only answer is probably for me, skydive at least once. And then just, I mean, I know this sounds so corny, but you just got to spend time with people that you like love. I know that's the corniest answer ever, but like, what else can you do? What are you going to go rob the zoo? I mean, you'll just like,
I think I'd eat, I would, you know, I'd go get stuff. I would eat. I'd want to have all my family as close by as possible, you know,
exactly.
You know, spend some time with my wife, you know, do that kind of thing. But I mean, it is something to think about, but I take it in a bigger stance. Shouldn't we, okay, James, and you and I both experienced loss and you have as well, but shouldn't, and I know this is trite and I know people talk about it, but shouldn't we always live every day as if it's our last?
100%. Absolutely. But since it's not, and we never will.
that we know of.
No, it's true, Doug. You just don't know. And like, yes, you should try to spend as much time with the people you love and do the right thing and be around good people and do the things like, hey, I didn't think I was going to make it tomorrow. I'm going to go do this. Yes, we should. But once you start thinking about that stuff, your mind races, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, what am I going to do? You know what I would do? If I knew 10 days and then somebody needs, you know, I don't know, I would just go stay in an empty Airbnb in Italy and then just go live there for the last 10 days. You know, because they're all empty. All these Airbnbs are empty. What are you going to do? What are they going to do? Go to their separate second houses? No.
or go to Alaska, you know, or go to Hawaii or go to somewhere, you know, just say, you know, hey, I'm just going to hang out here. But I mean, the chaos that would ensue.
Oh, yeah. I would probably just, you know, unfortunately, we'd have to hear from all the people that were like, you know, I built a bunker 10 years ago. And you're like, I know, you're a nutcase. I probably would go find them and go, all right, I'm here. Let me get some bunker space. I'll help feed the family. I'll cook. Whatever you need, just let me live.
I'll sell it all out. Well, you know, this is what happens, though, on Friday's Finest when we get off on, and this is exactly why we do this, folks. And, you know, we get our Friday's Finest because we look at things from dirtiest cities to Kamala Harris not knowing the Declaration of Independence to the fact that, you know, what is the next big asteroid going to hit or earthquake going to hit? And by the way, how many of you actually knew that there was a big fault in San Madrid in the middle of the country and at Charleston in Georgia has big fault lines as well?
No one did. Okay? You know, Doug, I will say there's one more thing. I would be interested, as long as I could stay safe and people I liked stayed safe. I said the zoo before. It would be pretty interesting to release all the zoo animals at one time and just see what happens. I know that's a horrible thing to say.
that would be interesting. That'd be some, if I was a dog anywhere close to a zoo, I'd be gone.
just open up the Bronx Zoo and let's see what happens. No, that's a horrible thought.
That's like Night of the Museum. All right. Yeah. Before we get going though, we do want to remember this is, this week's the third anniversary of, one of the greatest to ever play the game of basketball, Kobe Bryant, Mamba, the Black Mamba.
His daughter Gigi, and all the other nine.
And the rest of his kids and everybody else there. But if you still go to, and I like to do this, I'm an inspirational kind of person. I like to do the motivational stuff. It just keeps me focused. And some of his, you know, quotes, some of his discussions, speeches were some about, you know, just, you know, bringing, you know, some amazing focus. I mean, the man had a focus for the game that was just unreal.
If I can give a quick story that people tell real quick.
Yeah.
You know, does everyone know Allen Iverson also played in the same era as him, played for the Sixers? Yeah. Probably one of the most talented six footers, and in general, he's pound for pound, arguably the best player that's ever played, pound for pound. And there was a time where Allen Iverson was headed out to the club at 3 a.m. and Kobe Bryant was up at 3 a.m. too, and he goes, "Where are you going?" And Allen Iverson says, "We're going to the club. You want to come with us?" And Kobe goes, "No, I'm going to the gym." And that's the difference. Kobe Bryant spent his mornings and his nights and his afternoons and in between family time, literally in the gym. And that's just pure. Like if you can live and no, it's hard to live like that. But if you can, all you get is excellence. 5 championships, MVP, you know, 30+ thousand points. That's what you get.
Yep, that is it. Well, God bless him. you know, he made a direct impact in so many people's sure lives did. And still does to this day, you know, going through the videos and everything else. But, James, as much as we, you know, go about it, we find all these stories. There's things, the playoffs are this weekend. You got KC, you got the Bengals, you got San Francisco, we got Philly. We're going to have to get Coach Gailey back on to talk about who's going to be set up in it. Before we go, though, let's get some picks. All right, pick it out. KC and Cincinnati, who you got?
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm scared of the bum ankle from Pat Mahomes. Give me the Bengals.
I'm going to go Bengals as well on that one. I was going to go Bengals either way. I think Burrow has got Mahomes got Kansas City's number. And by the way, if you did not see the just little spin twirl of Burrow just throwing it.
Is he not the coolest human being on the planet right now?
I mean, it comes from such a humble background. Yeah.
He's the coolest guy on the planet.
And then it brings me to the game that I really, frankly, could care less about. But San Francisco and Philly. I will say this: I don't know if you missed it this week on Friday's Finest. Maybe James, you could include a little clip or a laugh from Stephen A. and the Dallas beatdown 100%, in San Francisco.
I'll happily do that.
With the dude that was crying at the end,
y'all deserve better.
Show them all. Hold on. Let's take a moment, y'all. Let's take a moment. Let's watch this. There he is. This is beautiful.
San Francisco, Philly. Who you got?
Give me Philadelphia. I hate to say it out loud, but give me Philly.
All right, I'm gonna take Brock Purdy and the 49ers. I'm looking at a Purdy Burrow Super Bowl and number one and the first Super Bowl championship for Mr. Joe Burrow.
The number one pick and the last pick.
The first.
What a time.
Wouldn't that be a story? The Super Bowl of the last and the first. That is it. All right, folks. Well, that's what it is here for Friday's Finest. Thanks for listening with us. If you ever have any ideas for the next Friday's Finest, let us know. Go to the website, DougCollinsPodcast.com. Hit the email button. Let us know if you have any ideas for Friday's Finest. Also, make sure that you like, subscribe. Make sure that you share this podcast with everybody around. And we will be back. James and I will be back with you next Friday for another round of Friday Finest.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.